You're listening to Soccer Report Extra with Bobby McMahon and Owen O'Callaghan.
Welcome to the World Cup edition of the Soccer Report Extra podcast. I'm Bobby McMahon. He is Owen O'Callaghan. At the controls, we have producer Luke Crawford. So, we are about to start the third round of group games. Some of the groups have been decided, some have not. Some are very tight, some perhaps just are going to draw to their inevitable conclusion. But let's get into looking at Monday's games, Owen. And I guess Saudi Arabia and Egypt are playing for third and fourth place. So let's go straight to prediction for that one.
Saudi Arabia. This is going to be an Egyptian win. I don't really think. As much as I like the Saudis and I like the fact that they have stepped it up after that opening game abomination.
Could they have got worse? That's the question.
I mean, I really felt the worst was about to happen, you know, when you thought of the Saudis coming up against Suarez and Cavani and all that sort of stuff. But they kept it to one. I think there might be a little bit of frustration, you know, in terms of the Egyptian performance so far, and they haven't been able to show exactly what they're worth. So I think that they'll do the Saudis on that final match there.
So what's your score?
Ooh, I think Egypt will win 2-1.
2-1. I have it down as a 2-0. So the next one, Uruguay Russia. Now this is interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, on the face of it, you're looking at the two teams' 100% record so far, going to decide, I guess Russia have got the significant edge on goal difference just now, so Uruguay have to win this to finish top in the section. But conventional wisdom would be it's going to be Portugal, Spain in spots 1 and 2 in Group B, so does it really matter? Thoughts on Uruguay and Russia?
I think it does matter because I think that the Russians will want to capitalise on this on this inexplicable turn that they have experienced just at the right, perfect
right
possible
time.
Moment. Who would have thought that this was possible?
Watch Sergei run. Look how far Sergei can run. Look how fast Sergei can run. And he's still friggin' running.
Wow, Sergei hasn't shown this level of fitness or form for the last 7 years. Anyway, listen, we won't get into that. We have many friends in Russia. We would like to visit there one day. So I think Russia will look to try and win this to keep this sort of magical World Cup experience going for as long as possible. I haven't been particularly stunned or left particularly satisfied with Uruguay so far. I mean, comparatively speaking,
defensively good,
but you would really expect more from them going forward. And I think that
I've questioned, you know, the longevity of
True.
Suarez.
You have questioned
think,
for a while.
I think
yeah.
we've seen this. Yeah, yeah. And I think he's on the downward slope. Cavani, we haven't seen much of yet. I think their midfield hasn't looked too bad at times. Defensively, though, like the Uruguayans are just going to go out and make it really, really tough for whoever to play. Because you've got Godin, you've got Jimenez. Muslera, underrated goalkeeper. Never thought much on when he broke into or when he played for Lazio, but he has grown on me over the years, and he's turned into, I think, a very consistent international keeper and a decent goal, a very, very decent goalkeeper compared with the clown that Argentina's got, of course. But I think, you know, Uruguay, this one, I'm going to go for 1-1.
Yeah, I mean, I think a draw is a decent prediction to make. And I think do you know what? I think Russia can go on and get three from three here. I think they might sneak it 2-1. It's probably optimistic. I think for Uruguay to concede twice is probably optimistic, but I want to vary up some things for our listeners and not just say the same predictions that you're going to say. So I'm willing. I'm willing to take the short straw on this, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. But the God, I can't remember what I was going to say there. Ah, probably
something like
anyway.
Werther's Originals, okay, that's Dad's in the group Army, something along those lines.
Yeah. I think this one could be very interesting. And I think in some ways it's, you know, if this was Iran needing a draw to go through, I think I might pick Iran. But they need more than a draw to go through. They need to beat Portugal. Have they got it in themselves to beat Portugal? Defensively, my God, Iran have been tough. Like, the first minute of that game against Spain, very first minute, seven of them across the back line.
Yeah.
Seven! And that, you know, admittedly they've cut that back to five and six.
When they're really going for it, they'll just play six back there. The one thing that I will say about that particular strategy as well is that it's a kind of a misrepresented perspective on it, where you think that just because you've got bodies back there, that the job is done. What's really a great thing that Kiarosh has done is the actual solidarity that they know the roles that they are playing. They're not just bodies lining up. They know how to communicate. They know how to move. They know how to position themselves. And the one thing that really, really impressed me against Spain is when they needed to start chasing the game, the one thing that no lowly team really tends to have when they want to absorb and they want to condense things and really make it hard for teams is the issuing of the response when they need it. And Iran did just that. It was the biggest surprise of that performance against Spain, that they also had the ability when they needed to get more offensive and to actually create chances, get the ball into the box and take the Spanish players on. So also, in keeping that same train of thought, the reason why I think that this is far from an easy tie for Portugal is that the Portuguese side is one of those teams. Yes, a lot of people got carried away after the 3-3 result against Spain, and quite inevitably because it was such a great game. The game against Morocco, for me, was a much more closer reflection on this Portuguese team than anything else. In terms of a low-scoring game, it's tight. For large periods, they're not very impressive. And for large periods, Ronaldo isn't a major talismanic force. Like, I mean, in Spain, in that Spain game, it was almost inexplicable how central he was to the pattern of the game. So, listen, if Iran...
But you've got Guedes. Guedes is basically out there doing his running.
Exactly. And you feel so bad for the kid. I mean, before that Spanish game, I was like, oh, be great if Guedes can do something. You know, we've heard great things. Bobby, in particular, has been saying great things about him this season. And that first game, he was just a passenger. It was just... He just couldn't get
in
the game.
He was a foil.
I don't think this is... And this, with the benefit of hindsight, it could come back and haunt me, but it's not outlandish for me to think that Iran could do something here. It sounds absolutely bizarre maybe to some listeners, and obviously people would be listening to this after the game happens. But I've been really impressed with Iran. I did a piece about them for The Guardian, and this whole story, 20 years since they actually beat the United States in that first ever World Cup victory, and what it kind of means for a country that's always got a certain perspective and a certain cliche attached to it. What a great story is if they can do it. And we've had so many great group stage stories up to this point. Possibly, God, could Iran do it as well? Do you know what? Do you know what? I'm going to go 1-0 Iran.
Ooh. Very brave, very brave. I'm going nothing. Because I think Portugal will essentially play a very conservative game as well. And it will be a bit like two blunt instruments hitting each other for 90 minutes.
A bit like this podcast.
A bit like this podcast. But the thing is, it will keep it very, very interesting right to the end. Because there will be that threat of Iran getting a goal and really putting the cat amongst the pigeons. So I'm going to go nothing. You're going 1-0. And then Texas to Spain, Morocco. What do you make of Spain so far?
I don't know.
What do you make of Morocco so far?
It's very strange. This group is very, very odd. Particularly because for me, the Iranian story has been so strong, and I just don't want this group because it's been so rich with kind of storylines and narratives that for just the two obvious...
You don't want it to go away?
You just don't want, after all of that, for the two obvious teams to go, you know, and for everything just to follow suit. In saying that, I do think that the Iran performance from Spain may serve as a little bit of a kick up the arse because, you know, yes... They should have been out of sight against Portugal, and they would have been, really. I mean, you think of those key moments, even before the Ronaldo free kick, the Isco volley that no one's really made anything of. What an absolutely stunning execution. And he has been, in my estimation, the best, the standout attacking presence in the Spanish team out of two games. I think he's been very, very clever, very intelligent, very astute. And... I think they'll beat Morocco. I think they will. It may not necessarily be a pretty Spanish performance, but I think they'll do enough to get it.
What do you make of Diego Costa so far? apart from the usual.
Yeah, he's like Ron Seal, quick drying wood stain. Do you know what I mean? It's like he just doesn't. He does exactly what it says on the tin repeatedly. I mean, he's just got a role and he will always perform that role to the nth degree. And I think, I mean, he's a petulant irritant, but...
And that's his good qualities.
Now to the negatives. When I watch him for the World Cup, you just think back to conversations that we had about Chelsea and why. He's a person who, like a Pepe for a Portugal, whatever... If he's part of your team, you love him.
Yeah, you love him, yeah.
He's a John Terry, or he's another one of those characters hated by everyone else. But
he's just a dickhead.
He's a complete prick. but he is... If you take him out of the equation for Spain, if he does pull up with an injury or doesn't play, again, there's not a lot. And I mean, he's a bit of a battering ram and all that sort of stuff. But you know what? In a World Cup, it's anything to get you over the line. And so far, he's proven very effective.
So what's your score, Owen?
I think Spain are going to do this. I see this where they might score, you know, might be 1-0 at half-time. And you think, oh, it's going to be a tight affair. And they may even just tack two on later in the game. Make it seem a bit more comfortable it was. So I'm going to think that, I'm going to say that Spain will put 3 past Morocco. Possibly 3-1 is what I'm going to say.
3-1. I'm going for 2-0.
Okay.
So that then takes us through to Tuesday, and the first two games up. Of course, we've got games going at the same time here to make sure there's no collusion. But the first one is Australia and Peru. I guess Australia. Australia's still in this.
Yes, they are.
They could still go through. Peru are out though. I felt sorry for Peru. I thought, especially the game against Denmark. Well, see there again. Let me take that back. One part of me feels sorry for them.
Yeah, here we
go. And the other part goes, "What do you friggin' expect if you can't score?"
Also, the one thing that bothered me—not bothered me—I wasn't. For instance, I follow the train of thought that you want teams to do well that you particularly like, and the way that Peru took to that Danish game, you kind of felt, "Oh, I really want them to do well." The one thing that really, not bothered me or irritated me, but that I was dwelling on a little bit, was mentality and mental resolve. And when Cueva missed that penalty, I have no understanding why he just collapsed and crumbled, because he's walking off a pitch at half time, and it's like he just missed the penalty in the 94th minute. There was still so much of the game left, players kind of standing around him trying to pep himself up. There was still so much of the game left, but you had a feeling that there was just something that had that something was missing from the Peruvian mindset, that kind of strength of character, that maybe a togetherness or a decisiveness that they'll get through it. You're going to come up against moments of adversity in any tournament that you play or any game that you play. And maybe Peru have just fallen into that trap of believing in the romance of a World Cup, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. You have to believe in that sometimes. But in a game that's nip and tuck and can go either way, you need to be decisive. And that Denmark game for me certainly was, they had so many chances. If they just were a little bit clever, a little bit calmer, they could easily have got that game back, and they didn't. And going into this game, many people would think, oh, Peru will, you know, might feel they have a point to prove for their country and all the fans that turned up. I even still think that that will bring its own pressures. And I think that, that Australia, as a result of that, even though offensively Australia aren't too impressive either, I think the Aussies can get something from this game.
So what are you going for?
I think that the Aussies might get a 2-1 victory here.
A penalty
or a scrappy one, or if it goes in off someone's arse, you know, or Tim Cahill with an overhead kick. Either of those things are going to happen, basically.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here. I think both. I just don't think Australia have got enough. If I'm going by, you know, their performance against, I guess that was Honduras, wasn't it?
The playoffs.
I keep on going back to that. To be fair, the Aussies have been better in this World Cup than I expected. But I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here. Denmark, France, Christian Eriksen. We're messing around with this, but it's true, isn't it? How Eriksen goes, the Danes go.
Fucking hell, the Danes. I swear. Listen, like, I mean, yeah, people might complain I've got a bit of history with Denmark or whatever, right? Like, against Australia.
Yeah, what have you got against Vikings?
Like, listen, I've been to Copenhagen a few times. Copenhagen is one of my favourite cities in the world. Denmark people are lovely. But Christ almighty, their team, their international team, it actually reminds me of Ireland, which probably gives me the level of anxiety that it does. You can appreciate it's a limited group of people, and they need to do whatever it takes. But at halftime in that game against Australia, they had made up their minds that they weren't interested. They didn't have to win the game. And they wanted to play the percentages, which is that they felt that Australia wouldn't have enough against Peru in that final group game, and that they wouldn't be hockeyed against France. They just absolutely committed. If they beat Australia in that second group game, they would have been through. There would have been absolutely no question about it. They would be qualified. So that for me was like, oh, that's a bit annoying. Eriksen, fantastic. Absolutely. But one of these days, Eriksen's not going to be in the game, and you know they're going to struggle. And France haven't exactly been too impressive either so far, to be honest.
They've been a bit. They've been inconsistent, haven't they? But that's France. Like you see them that they start flowing a little bit, and then it kind of just all goes flat. But there again, you know, we're back to, and we've had this discussion before, we are in the group stage. The teams that are going to get the final are the teams that have got some gears to go up. And you've got to look at France, and you've got to think they've got a couple of gears they can go up if it all works out for them. They do have that talent in the team. They do have that ability to move up and make it more difficult. You look at the likes of Denmark, and I think what you see from Denmark is what you're going to get from Denmark. I just don't think they've got anything more left in them.
And most importantly, in my bracket, I've put France getting to the final. So for Christ's sake, they really need to get a finger out and start performing here. Otherwise, I'm going to lose confidence in that prediction.
So I'm going to go... Jesus. I'm going to go 2-1 France.
Yes. You just stole my prediction, but that's fine. Again,
person. You can take the same one. No, you can, because you're allowed.
Am I allowed this once? Right, I'll do it this once. Yeah, right, I'll do the same. I'll echo your sentiment. 2-1 France.
2-1. Because it's nice this way, because we're both wrong.
Are we not usually both wrong?
Misery enjoys company. Yeah, it's nice when we're both wrong with the same thing, except as opposed to, like, you know, if you've got two choices and it comes out to be the third one, then we really look like the bollocks.
Well, teamwork, right? Isn't it? You teamwork know. Makes the dream work. Yeah. That's what they say.
Okay, Iceland, Croatia. Will Iceland get out of their own half?
I tipped Iceland to finish bottom of this group, and...
I
haven't seen that will... make me change.
Well, they could still do it because I've only got the 1 point, right?
Yes. I think Croatia. Like, people said to me at the start of the tournament, Croatia, and I said, what do you base that on? And they couldn't give me an answer. You know, as a potential dark horse.
Because they finished behind Iceland, didn't they?
Or, you know, as in group, and they, you know, kind of give me something that I can go, right, and digest, and people, they've got Mandzukic. I'm like, okay, right, that's still not quite enough. But it's the absolute remarkable thing about a World Cup where you get some momentum and you get kind of a chemistry, and then suddenly you get, usually in a group stage, It's like the Dutch in 2014. You know, you get an amazing result that seems to completely change your perspective, maybe even as a player or member of a coaching staff, or maybe even as a coach yourself, in terms of maybe actually we could actually kind of do all right in this tournament. And I think Croatia were always going to get out of this group. Getting out of this group as group winners, though, really gives them a bit of a spark. I think they'll beat Iceland. I think the kind of the air has come out of the Iceland balloon a little bit. And their limitations have been greatly exposed, as far as I'm concerned, at this tournament. It's kind of, you know, had a natural
finale. Everybody jumped on the wagon about 18 months too late.
Yeah, which is fine. But like, this is, you know, we said this before, but this is the end of not just the European cycle, but this is the World Cup cycle that preceded that. So I mean, they've had a prolonged period of success. And it's just sometimes you just get a bit of a bad break when you're drawn in the same group as Croatia and Argentina. You're always up against it. The Nigerian game was huge for them, and you know, unfortunately, you know, it just didn't happen the way they would have wanted. So I think Croatia are going to do this 2-1 Croatia.
Okay, I'm going to go, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm actually going to go Iceland 2-1.
What?
Yeah, I know, because I picked them to be bottom of the group as well.
A volcanic display by the men from the island. An explosive performance.
No, I've just got someone tells me 2-1, so I'm going 2-1 Iceland. Which brings us to Nigeria and Argentina.
Oh, Christ. We should do a podcast on this just on its own.
Just on that. No, we could actually do a series.
Good grief. Making a murderer had nothing on this. Making a messy.
What we could do,
Netflix special.
Yeah, what we could do is do a movie.
Well, I mean, so many subplots. Do you think that Argentina are going to be eliminated in the group stage of the World Cup?
We've seen Italy go. We've seen we've seen Spain go. Anybody can go in the group stage, really, when you get down to it. I don't think, you know, we've got to consider it. Argentina, they've just been bad.
They've been fucking abysmal.
The coaching, how can you not play Banega? How do you start with you've got workman-like players all around you, and you just throw another one into the mix. It just...
But the game against Croatia, you talk about the coaching, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, the goal difference in this group can actually be so important.
Yeah, and the threw it away.
How... You just absolutely... There is... I mean, Sampaoli on the bench, he's just sitting back. I mean, you know... He actually looks like some sort of cartel boss. The tattoo sleeve. You're like, instead of just posturing on a sideline and trying to make yourself look tough, actually, you know, have some input on your team trying to stem the bleeding, because you're absolutely being pulled apart.
Yeah.
And instead, what was happening was, I mean, even at 1-0, the players were running around like headless chickens. I mean, it was a frenzied, chaotic, mindless performance that you're actually just watching this thinking, is there anyone who's giving them any level of instruction whatsoever? I mean, it was absolutely baffling.
I was watching it, and my mind and experience were drawn back to 1978 in Argentina.
Oh, here we go.
Scotland against Peru, and then Scotland against Iran. I've got to go back that length of time to seeing a team absolutely dissolve before my eyes. But that's what it was like. Absolutely collapsed. There was just nothing there. There was no...
Now, do you even back these guys mentally to show up to this game? Is this going to be a France situation? Is this going to be there's been a mutiny, there's been some sort of massive issue behind the scenes, and it's just in the words of Alex Ferguson, it's a Vadis.
strangely, like, there's part of me that just believes they're going to come out with one good performance.
Yeah, me too.
Or more to the point, a couple of players are going to come out with a good performance, so I've got them down to win 3-0. And I know that you're probably thinking he should be taken away and put in a room someplace.
I don't. I think that's the most staggering thing. I think if you do have to, I think it comes back to what happens on the training field and in the team meetings. And it possibly has to come from the more veteran players, where you actually have to sit down with the group and explain to them, listen, fucking hell, I mean, we are not going to stand for this. We are not going to be eliminated in the group stage of a World Cup tournament. I mean, that's just not going to happen, because we are, you know, Champions League winners. We are decorated players. This is just, this is, does not come down to talent. It does not come down to players suddenly not being able to play. And they have to remember that. Now, the thing is, whether or not those meetings and those levels of conversations are actually happening. If they're not, you'd be very, very concerned. But I do share your point, and I do share your prediction on Argentina. I think incredibly that Argentina can salvage this and win by enough to get them through.
So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
How much did Argentina win by in 78? Was that 6 against Peru?
Yes, it was.
I don't think it'll be 6. Jesus. Maybe 3-1. Does that even get them through? Does a 3-1 victory get them through?
3-1 victory would put them tied with Nigeria. It depends on Iceland then at that point.
Yeah, well, I think Croatia would do Iceland.
You go the mini group then, so probably of the mini group of 3. No, sorry. No, Nigeria would be 3, so it'd be Iceland, Argentina, and it'd be goals scored, and then, it'd be enough. Under your scenario, it'd be enough.
Right, because I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet against Nigeria. I can't see that happening.
Okay. But, well, the interesting thing is Musa playing up front. He's got a bit of pace to him, doesn't he? And that could make life a little
bit difficult. But don't fear that. Marcus Rojo plays at the back for Argentina. If you wanted that an injection of optimism, just remember that.
That brings us to the end of part one of the World Cup special Soccer Report Extra podcast. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to Soccer Report Extra. Keep up to speed with the podcast and get all the latest news, musings, and rants from Bobby and Owen by liking us on Facebook at Soccer Report Extra. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to part two of the Soccer Report Extra podcast and World Cup edition, looking at round 3 of the games that will wrap up the group stage. I'm still exhausted from watching Germany on Saturday.
Oh.
I'd hate to think what I'd been like if I'd actually cared about, you know, like if that was a country I'd really, really, really cared about. But I was exhausted.
Stunning.
It was like part of yourself's going, it's Germany, they're going to pull this out. But it's not happening. It's just not happening. And then Cruz hit that free kick under pressure. That was not, technically, that was incredibly difficult to do.
Oh, it's, and people do not, like when that's shown on SportsCenter, right, and plays it a week, it's actually borderline disrespectful. Because, you know, it goes into the same category as, I don't fucking know, some running back catching a ball. The level of technique required.
Amazing.
The angle from behind, the one that's been shared repeatedly on social media, tells you everything you need to know about that goal. Yeah. The goalkeeper knows exactly what Cruz is going to do.
Yeah.
He's just trying to gamble a little bit. But also the goalkeeper knows how difficult it is for Cruz to do what he wants to do. Absolutely spectacular World Cup moment for me. And also, like you, I didn't realize I was as invested in the Germans. I wasn't rejoicing at the fact that Germany were on the cusp of being eliminated. I was worried that this was going to be the end of the Germans in the tournament.
Yeah,
because obviously that tells you that you want the best teams to still be there, and I think that they have struggled majorly.
Yeah.
I mean, there are serious question marks about how all of this is working. I thought that they may. I mean, Ozil had an absolutely diabolical opening game. Yeah. I thought that made sense leaving him out, but how Julian Brandt wasn't in from the start for Draxler, I have no idea. Brandt came on, hit the post.
Draxler takes away the balance from the team. Like, he keeps on cutting back in that right foot, and it's not working for them.
Exactly, and Brandt is just so much more front facing.
Yeah,
and maybe that's what Love doesn't like in him, that he's a little bit too risky. But
even Werner, when he went left, was still better than him.
Exactly. You know, he was taking players on. They just needed something different, and for so long they didn't have it.
Yeah.
But I think this is exactly what the Germans needed. They got the scare of their lives. But they also got the moment to prove to themselves that they still possess the quality to get them out of situations.
Yeah.
I think the score here, I think you could see a reaction from Germany. I'm going to say 3-0 to the Germans.
Okay, well, 2-0 is what they need. If they win 2-0, nobody can stop them qualifying. In a tie-break scenario that's, to say the least, extremely complex. But if my understanding is Germany win 2-0, then nobody can stop them. Because you then go to Mexico, Sweden, and I think, here I'm going to do it, I think Mexico are going out.
What?
Yes. I think Sweden are going to beat them 1-0.
Sweden?
Yeah. Sorry. After being abusive about the Swedes for so long, I think, you know, in this article I wrote for Forbes, that Kruz goal didn't just stun Sweden, but it stunned Mexico as well, because Mexico were sitting there going, we're through, boys. Kruz hits that free kick, we're no longer through. They've won two games. They've won their first two games. They're getting praised to high heaven, and they're not through yet. I think the pressure's going to tell on them.
You think the one thing that I would be concerned about for the Mexicans is what I distinctly felt about the first game, where you were given so many opportunities. You essentially play the game of your lives in many respects, and you are still holding on by your fingernails come the end of the game. They should have been so far out of sight, and they weren't. Yes, they scored some well worked goals against South Korea, but I just don't think the Swedes have enough. I think it's like, now I say that after they ran Germany so bloody close. I think they're very limited, and I just feel that. I feel that Mexico, I mean, even a draw,
Mexico is
a potential eventuality. I think a draw is maybe, I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I can see your point to a certain extreme, but I just think that Mexico, I think they have enough here on Sweden. I'm going to go 1-1 draw.
Okay, and I'm going 1-0 for Sweden, so I've got Germany winning the section. Can you believe that, Ace? Germany winning the section. And,
dear me.
You know, just, I think it's going to be bizarre, but that's what I've got. Which takes us to Serbia and Brazil. Now, probably, and also in this group, Switzerland and Costa Rica, it's that Switzerland-Serbia game. I guess that was Friday, wasn't it? What a terrific game of football that was.
And you know what? I made a fatal error. I had to go and I had to make a deadline. And I said,
miss that one.
Serbia, Switzerland. I'm going to give this a miss. I'm going to nip out. I have work to do over the next few hours. I'm going to come back. And what a fatal error that was.
It was a great game. Great game. Like,
I thought it was going to be, I thought it was actually going to be a nasty game. I thought it was going to be a lot of fouls, a lot of interruptions. You know, maybe one of the teams would get a narrow victory, or it would be a 1-1 draw. Something that would be largely forgettable. And instead, I open up a Twitter timeline after a while and everyone is talking about how entertaining and thrilling and exhilarating it was. So I felt fucking
great about myself. Three great goals. Mitrovic, great header. Xhaka, just what a goal. And then Shaqiri with the swivel of the hips goes through, runs from the halfway line, great timed run, under all sorts of pressure, last minute of the game, and he just cool as could be. Obviously, Xhaka and him were very motivated, and that looks like they've got themselves in trouble. I tell you something, if FIFA finish up banning these two for two games, it would be an absolute sin.
Completely. I would agree with you. And if they hit you with rules are rules and all that sort of stuff. Some interesting stuff actually being circulated after Serbia scored their opening goal. There's also a Serbian gesture that you make, a three-finger gesture. That certainly, potentially, I'm not sure if it was Mitrovic or one of the other players, was making to cameras.
I think it was Kolarov.
Kolarov was also
as well made it.
I think Kolarov was doing it in the dressing room as well. So, I mean, there are different ways of bringing that discussion. Obviously, as well, Serbia brought the complaint, right? They lodged the complaint with FIFA. If they didn't do that, we wouldn't be in this situation. Shaqiri, what a throwback. The hips, the body type, everything about him is just, it just is not aligning with modern football. It just doesn't make much sense, and it's great. I love it.
But do you think, I think we're on to something very important here. Do you think FIFA have to convene a VAR panel to actually analyse hand gestures and finger gestures?
I mean, this is kind of...
We're not sure if it's a goal yet. We're going to VAR. Just a minute. Was that an Albanian eagle or was that a dove?
Was a couple of people who kind of went online and they were like, oh, I love the celebration. What's the eagle about?
Yes, the love. That's what that too.
just don't have your kids doing it tomorrow on the playground, please.
So what have you got as a score for Serbia, Brazil?
Brazil.
Because we'll keep Brazil for
also,
another day.
Listen, I know there's people from Brazil listening to this podcast, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make this too bad. Your fucking team is irritating the life out of me. And I mean, if I have to see Neymar take another dive.
Not Coutinho, right? Though,
not
right?
Not Coutinho. There's a couple...
Not Firmino.
I don't mind Firmino particularly. I don't mind a goalkeeper particularly.
It's just Neymar's a knob.
Neymar and Marcelo. And if I have to hear this one more fucking time, I'm swearing a lot in this episode. I have a lot of pent-up anger. If I have to hear this one more time, Chiche there on the touchline. Wonder what Chiche is going to do here. Is Chiche going to do... You're not fucking Portuguese, right? You don't speak Portuguese. You're not a Brazilian. Just call him Tite, because that's how we fucking say his name. I'm not having any of this Chiche nonsense. Like, I mean...
So it could have been, you know, Tite against, you know, Serbia, which has got a connection to Tito.
Careful now.
I know. I could be making hand signals.
You could. Careful. I think that this is going to be. This is tough. I think Brazil will win, bizarrely, and I think it'll be tight. I'm going to do 2-1 Brazil. And please, Brazil, for God's sake, do not let Neymar take more than 7 dives per game. There should just be a limit, right? Please, just let him have...
Or there'll be a point deduction.
God almighty, it's insufferable. Anyway, I'm going for a 2-1 Brazilian win.
Yeah, well, I'm going 2-0 Brazil. I don't think Serbia are going to score against them. Switzerland, Costa Rica. You know, Costa Rica, still tough defensively. But, you know, like so much of, you know, the problem, of course, is with the games going at the same time, because if Brazil win, then Switzerland are through anyway. It doesn't matter. Serbia have got to get something, at least a point, and hope Switzerland blow it against Costa Rica. But I can't kind of see that myself, because I think they're going to go into it and they're going to be quite conservative as well. And I think they'd be quite happy walking away with a draw, because I don't think they believe that Serbia's gotten enough. Because of course, if Serbia does have enough, Switzerland just need a draw, because they'll go ahead of Brazil then.
And Brazil cannot take that level of risk. I mean, it's just it's a bit stupid. I mean, they and also I think in the Switzerland Costa Rica situation, what you saw Switzerland produce against Serbia was individual magic. I mean, they do have players. I mean, Shaqiri, even from a set piece or from open play, he does have that in his locker where if it is a tight affair, he can still produce a bit of a moment of magic. So, I think a draw makes sense. I think Switzerland, I think actually Switzerland might win this. I think Switzerland might win this by a goal to nil.
Goal to nil. I'm going to go for 1-1. Which takes us then to the group that absolutely has demolished my pool, which was group, I guess that was group, Group H? Yeah. Haven't got anything. I think I'm zero for whatever it is on that one. Japan, Poland, and Senegal against Colombia.
Well, the prize for the worst team in the 2018 World Cup, in my estimation, goes to Poland, who've just been as boring as an episode of The Big Bang Theory. That's how poor they've been. To the point where you actually want to just like take the top of your head off and just make sure that your brain is still awake. You think that Poland are going to make me look like a bloody idiot in this final game.
Because I think the pressure's off Poland now, and I don't think they're that bad a team. And I just see them being bloody minded about this, and I can see them knocking off the Japanese. I've got it down as 2-0 Poland. Yeah.
I haven't been too impressed with the Japanese, to be honest. God, Poland winning a game. It's a crazy thought. They've just been so poor. I'm going to say 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd put the Japanese on 5 points. It would put Poland on 1. And then we're left with Senegal, who are presently on 4, and Colombia at 3. I thought Senegal should have beaten Japanese, actually. I think they're probably regretting dropping these extra 2 points there, because I think they had that game for the winning. But we've got Senegal, played some nice stuff against Colombia, who showed themselves to be a very different team when they're allowed to play 90 minutes with full team.
Yes, I think that Colombia, I had my doubts about Colombia coming into this tournament, because I felt that maybe 4 years ago was the kind of proper blossoming of that side that they had pieced together, and I was unsure whether or not they could kind of keep it going. With that being said, I think that performance against Poland certainly has opened their eyes to the potential that they still have. Obviously, a massive relief for them that their key players actually got a really big 90 minutes under their belts. And to that point, I think that they'll beat Senegal and do it relatively comfortably. I think trying to back African teams, particularly when the pressure's on, traditionally, I think that that's not the best bet to make. And I think Colombia will have too much of them. I think Senegal just leak a little bit too much space. They're not as disciplined as I'd like. I think Colombia could maybe make this. Maybe I'm going to say 2-1 actually, Colombia.
And that's what I've got as well. So I'm going to steal your pick. I'm going 2-1 as well. So that would that's interesting, because that that would put, I think Senegal would still go through with Colombia on goal difference, actually. Well, Colombia would go through because they'd have more points than anybody else, but I think Senegal would just edge out Japan on goal difference of
what a story that would even be.
Japan being finishing up with -1. So the game that really is going to seal England's World Cup victory, playing against Belgium, so much talk about, you know, throwing the game to get into, which is never a good idea. It always seems to backfire when teams try and pick opponents in the second round, because you never quite know what's going to go on. Although they will know by this time who they're liable to get. But England, Belgium, what's your poison, Owen?
Well, because England are going to win the World Cup, obviously.
Yeah.
You would have to know.
Jesse Lingard, World Cup winner, has a ring to it, doesn't it?
How can he market that? I wonder. World Cup wins lings. Is that how he does it?
A back three of Kyle Walker, Harry Maguire, and John Stones rolls off the tongue just like Christ Bobby Moore, Jack Charlton, George Cohen, and Ray Wilson.
You don't want to be too disrespectful. I mean, England have beaten Panama 6-1, for goodness sake. you know, with two fucking penalties and two goals by John Stones, least we forget.
And one off your heel.
But, listen, if you... always print the legend. Isn't that what Henry Ford said? John Ford. Henry Ford was a slightly different Ford.
He said anything as long as it's beige. Or no, it was black. That was it.
I think Belgium will win this.
Any colour you want as long as it's black.
Belgium will win this. I think the realism that we can align with this England team will come back, thankfully. After they lose to Belgium, and hopefully keeping your train of thought, England will finish second. It will set up a pretty decent second round game between Colombia and England, which will be pretty juicy. But I think, yes, you know, it's absolutely outrageous. I mean, ITV, people have been probably spotting ITV clips during the rounds because Roy Keane is one of the pundits. And there was a clip tonight of him basically, I'm not sure in North America, for bulk of our listeners, if they are familiar with One Foot in the Grave and the character of Victor Meldrew. But Roy Keane really is the Victor Meldrew of football punditry. He never smiles and never enjoys anything. He just hates everything and everybody.
Especially when Billich is pawing him.
So putting him in a TV studio with Ian Wright and Gary Neville after England have won a game 6-1 at a World Cup is just absolutely brilliant television. And Keane literally has to sit there and hear Ian Wright talk about the possibility of England reaching a World Cup final, which is really funny as Roy Keane has to kind of digest this. And he talks about the importance of Gareth Southgate having to take every game on its merits. But it's kind of funny. People should see the clip. It's very, very humorous. But Belgium to win this. I am going to say that Belgium will win this game 2-1.
2-1. I'm going to go 3-1 Belgium.
Good lad.
Yeah. And that brings us to the wrap-up, and that's Panama-Tunisia.
Well, now.
Panama scored against England.
It's also a great World Cup story, isn't it, really? Maybe
Tunisia,
not.
I think, have been pretty good.
Surely Tunisia would fancy their chances here. God almighty.
I think so. Like, I thought they played, you know, they were a bit open against Belgium, but I thought they played decently against England. I thought, overall, like, I like how they go about the game.
Yeah, and they've got to try and
play themselves out of problems. They've got some good players.
They've got a few players who know their way to goal and know how to create a couple of chances and stuff like that. I think the Panamanians will be a little bit dazed and confused after that England game. You know, they've kind of had a little bit of celebration. They've had their moment of scoring in a game. I think you have to fancy Tunisia here, and I think I'm going to go for a 2-0 Tunisia victory.
That's exactly what I had as well.
Finished strongly. Jeez,
that's okay, though. Yeah, we're okay with that. So, anyway, that brings us to the end of part two, Soccer Report Extra Podcast. We'll bring in just Luke Crawford after this. I don't think we said anything that was ridiculous, did we?
Maybe
mixed up our doves from our eagles and stuff, but we'll find out.
You're listening to Soccer Report Extra with Bobby McMahon and Owen O'Callaghan. Be sure to follow them both on Twitter. Links are in the show notes below. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to part three. It's Soccer Report Extra Podcast, World Cup edition. We're now into the last group games, and we've been through and given us little predictions and thoughts on the action so far. And this is where we bring in producer Luke Crawford. Anything you've got for us to discuss this week, producer Luke?
Well, just a couple of things. Nothing pertaining to the punditry this evening. You guys were spot on, as far as I could tell. What I did notice was because I actually got a chance to watch the Germany Sweden game as well, and it had that bit of destiny to it when you anticipated that there was going to be something special for that in those 5 minutes of added time. And it just seemed to me like that Cruz goal, like they rolled the ball out too. So it wasn't as though he just took it straight. They rolled the ball out and then he took the shot. It's inconceivable just how difficult that shot was. It's like chipping in from the fringe, but not even rolling it to the cup, like just chipping it into the cup. You know what I mean?
Just
like
also, I just want to remind listeners as well. Real Madrid paid 20 million quid for Toni Kroos.
I know. Bargain, wasn't it?
20 million.
Because Bayern wouldn't pay him what he wanted.
Now, also, we should remind ourselves as well, David Moyes almost signed them. Just to keep that in your head. David Moyes would want you to know that he was almost there with that deal.
But just the nerves, just to be able to pull that shot off. Like 999 times out of 1,000, it doesn't even come close.
No, it goes out. It finishes up going closer to the corner flag than it does to finishing in the net.
Yeah,
but it was. You know, and I've never done a column on this, but I've always thought about doing a column on this. The most under-mentioned or understated quality in a player playing at that level. You know, you talk about technique, obviously, very, very important. We talk about fight and spirit and all the rest. But you know something?
Nerve.
The thing that never gets discussed, the ability to deal with frustration.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Like if you're sitting there watching that game and you're kind of pushing for Germany or whoever, even pushing for Sweden to some extent, what you're just sitting there and you're being frustrated. How you deal with it at that level, the frustration to keep on going, it really is, it's almost religious, because the only thing that can really push you through that is having the faith that it's going to come right.
And if Cruz had put his foot through the ball and skied it and put it in row Z and then he screamed to the heavens, everybody would have been okay with it, because they would have known that that's what happens when you've left it till the last kick of the game to try to salvage your tournament.
Yeah, and he hadn't played particularly well. Like he was definitely at fault for that first goal in terms of coughing up in midfield.
So there was that, and then the only other thing I wanted to add to was the mention of Henry Ford and the fact that, yes, he did say that his customers could have the Model T in any color that they wanted as long as they liked black. But a couple other things, I thought these were a couple of other really good Henry Ford quotes that maybe we can end the show on tonight. So one is, if you think you can do a thing or think you can't do a thing, you're right. And obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off your goal. There you go.
Ooh, words for World Cup winners.
So Cruz had no obstacles to that goal. That's it.
It's a thing of brilliance. It was a thing of brilliance. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this edition of Soccer Report Extra, World Cup Special Edition. We'll be back next week. Hope you're enjoying the World Cup, because we certainly are. And by this time next week, we'll be into a round of 16. And this is where the games start being spread out just a little bit. But we'll be back next week. So thanks for listening and hope you can join us again next week. For someone who's so keen to snuggle, you
cause a lot of trouble. Thanks for listening to Soccer Report Extra. To keep tabs on the podcast and get all the latest news, musings, and rants from Bobby and Owen, like us on Facebook at Soccer Report Extra. Music for this podcast graciously provided by Manitoba's hottest indie pop group, Misery Slims. Check them out on Spotify and YouTube, and follow the band on Facebook at Misery Slims.